Recorded Books presents The Lady's Mine by Francine Rivers, narrated by Kate Forbes. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Chapter 1. Northern California, 1875. Bleary-eyed and aching, Catherine braced herself again as the stagecoach rattled over a stretch of rough road. Riding second class on the Transcontinental Railroad had been blissfully comfortable compared to this jarring, jouncing journey into an unknown future. 2 days of torture, 2 nights in stage stops with a slab of wood for a bed, a single much-used blanket, something resembling stew for dinner, though the proprietors had been unwilling to tell her what meat they used, and plain oatmeal for breakfast. It might have been wiser to spend a few days in Truckee, where she had disembarked from the train, rather than hasten on with the final leg of her trip. But her options had been limited to taking this stage or waiting a week for the next one, and staying longer in the wild town with more saloons than hotels would have been too dear. Besides, the place had been a shock. The population was primarily miners, lumbermen, and railroad men, with a frightening scarcity of women. She'd never before seen a Chinese man, but she had read how they'd cross the Pacific by the thousands, willing to take lower wages for the dangerous work of blasting and chiseling tunnels through the stone Sierra Nevada mountains for the railroad. Now that the Mammoth Project was complete, the despised immigrants sought other ways to eke out a living. Several had approached Catherine the moment she alighted from the train. She hired one to transport her trunk to suitable accommodations. Though small and wiry, the man hefted her possessions to his rickety cart and headed off at a pace she was unable to match. Hurrying after him, Catherine stepped around steaming piles of horse dung and over puddles, nervous at the attention she attracted. Men stared. She saw only a few women, and none dressed as finely as she. And they stared, too. Catherine caught up to her porter as he entered a riverfront hotel. A hush fell over the lobby full of men as she came through the door. Ignoring them, she went straight to the front desk and checked in, eager for privacy, a bath, a good meal, and a bed. She had spent 7 days in a passenger car, her ears assaulted with the constant racket of wheels grinding on iron tracks. Ash and cinders had blown in the window from the locomotive smokestack, belching embers, burning small holes in her dark green chambray travel ensemble. The train stopped only for coal and water, barely allowing time for a meal in a local cafe. Her porter hauled her trunk upstairs and left it inside a small room with a bed, a table, and a pitcher of water. Overwhelmed with disappointment and too tired to go back downstairs and ask for a better room, Catherine untied the ribbons and removed her hat, then sprawled on the bed. She dreamed she was back in Boston, inside the Highland Pershing mansion, in the doorway of an upstairs suite. Her mother, radiant with happiness, cooed over a newborn son, while Catherine's stepfather sat on the edge of the canopy bed, a proud smile on his normally scowling face. When Catherine spoke, neither heard her. She stood, the recently disinherited daughter, observing their joy. Had they forgotten her already? She awoke in tears, the sunrise aglow. Groggy and disoriented, she sat up, her clothing rumpled, her hair undone. Her stomach growled, reminding her she hadn't eaten.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?